Run. Ready, ready.
To Amu on third down. Rifles it to the back of the end zone. Touchdown to Powell.
Back live in studio in the Navy Yard near Nats Park. We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan, brought to you today and every day by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murrah.
Oh, let them help you. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Coming up in a little over 20 minutes, the general manager of the Washington Capitals, Chris Patrick, will be with us here on Grant and Danny. Looking forward to talking to him about their upcoming offseason. They made a playoff run into round two. They're going to try to go even further next year. But speaking of playoff runs, we are pleased right now to welcome into the studio the quarterback of the DC Defenders, who are a league best 6-2 and on to the XFL conference championship game. Jordan Ta'amu is with us on Grant and Danny. Jordan,
oh, the audience loves
you. What's up, y'all? Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. It is awesome to have you on the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to still be here. I mean, I should be on a plane back to Dallas, but I'm just happy to be here in DC.
So I don't know if everybody quite understands it, doesn't track this, but you guys stay all week long in Texas.
Yes.
You come in basically four games. You don't stay in the city. So give us an idea of the schedule. When do you guys normally fly in for the DC games, and how does that work?
We basically fly in the day before the game, all the way in Baltimore, and then we drive an hour or so, depending on traffic, to DC. Then we stay in the hotel, go through meetings, stay the night, wake up, play our game. Right after the game, we leave right back to Texas.
Oh, so you guys don't even crash overnight in D.C.?
Don't even crash. So this is the first time, and this is my third year with this team, and this is my first time staying overnight.
First time you've ever stayed overnight?
First time,
So, because you've done it
after a game. I feel like
post-game, right?
Yes. I was going to say, okay, because you've come in for like events or appearances. I've seen you at restaurants or something.
And that's all the day before the game. So it's like I got to do all that stuff in a span of 2 hours before we have meetings.
Wow.
So
So all the teams train in the same basic facility area? How does that work?
We're all in like Arlington, Texas, and then we all like use like different high schools around the town, and we all have a HQ center where we have our meetings and our training and stuff, and we all share the same weight room. So we're all in that Texas Arlington area.
Are there teams that you see more often, and the guys that you kind of get to know, the rivalry type stuff like that?
I don't know. We kind of see everybody. I mean, everyone just kind of has like different meeting times, and so we're all passing each other in the elevator and dabbing people up. But like, that's why we want to win. It's like we're going to see them in the hallway every day. You know, so
the Defenders are going to face off against the St. Louis Battlehawks. XFL Conference Championship game is going to be Sunday, June 8th. The best turnouts in the league, Danny, in the UFL, are generally here in D.C.
And
in
St.
terms
Louis,
of attendance.
It's huge, right?
And St. Louis has been rocking every single year. I think you started there.
Yeah, I started there in 2020. And as soon as the Rams left, they grabbed right onto the St. Louis Battlehawks.
They play it. I don't know if it's still called Edward Jones Dome, but they play in the Dome downtown.
They play in the Dome,
where the Rams did.
America's Dome.
And they
That's
would get
crazy.
Like 40,000 people.
That's crazy.
And it's a pretty great atmosphere. Yes. So you were on that roster originally with Heinicke.
Yeah, Heinicke. Yep, me and Heinicke. Yeah, me and him were on that roster.
He was your backup.
Yeah, he was.
And then he ended up starting here, and you ended up on that in that Commanders quarterback room at one point.
Yeah, I was. I was with them when someone got COVID and I jumped in, and then got to see Taylor again. It was awesome. Very, very great dude. Smart guy.
That's such a cool thing, man. Yeah. What are some of the other cities where you go? That's a great environment. Obviously, St. Louis, here's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Other places that you guys go?
I'll probably have to say, I mean, the Dallas team had a good crowd, Arlington, back home. And then
that's probably an easy travel week.
Yeah, easy travel week. It's the best. I mean, we get to right after the game, we get to stay there and hang out. It's awesome. Our families, we can finally hang out with our families if they come and visit. What else? I mean, DC and St. Louis is like the top two out of all the leagues out here that give us.
I feel like the people that go to the Defenders games absolutely have a blast.
Yes,
they love it. The environment is amazing. I got season tickets this year. The start times haven't worked for me to take my little guy. I got a 4-year-old. But we finally got out to the noon game this year. They got another Friday night one coming up in a couple weeks. So that'll be dad and the boys going out. It's not going to be him. Right. But I feel like the people that go love it. For me, it's just about getting more people to go out and experience it.
Yeah.
Whether it's spring football or they just have other things going on. I just think if you get them there, they seem to like it. But what's your take on Audi Field and the way that it's kind of materialized?
Yeah. I mean, I loved Audi Field. The first time I played in here 2020 on the St. Louis team, and the atmosphere was amazing. And just seeing the beer snake and seeing the fan smile and seeing the costumes and the posters they make. They make my day every year, and it's something new, something different. And if you haven't experienced a DC game, you have to go because it's a lot of fun. You know, our marketing team does a great job of, you know, pushing it out there and making it super fun for fans to come in here and enjoy and meet the players and for us to, you know, kind of give back to the community. And that's the only way we can is during the games because we don't stay here. So it's just a lot of fun to see the crowd get rowdy, the beer snake and everything. So it's atmosphere 10 out of 10.
What surprised you about that? Like, I'm from the D.C. area. I've never said, you know what D.C. is going to do when we get a team? We'll have a beer snake. That never occurred to me, and that's now, like, our thing that we're known for. Like, what's kind of taking you by surprise in that regard?
Definitely that and the lemons. Yeah. I mean, both of those things combined, that combination is such a weird combination that no one expected it, which is, you know, made us that much more popular because of the lemons and the beer snake. So just seeing that and, you know, our players getting rowdy off of that. I mean, we feed off of that and each week and even each play, it just helps us. I don't know. It just gets us more excited.
Jordan Tamu in studio with us is the front runner for the UFL MVP award. He's leading the league in passing yards and touchdowns and in total yards this season, and a big reason why the Defenders are off to a 6-2 start. You guys found out right before the start of the season that your head coach was leaving. He got a college job.
Yeah.
And we've had Reggie in studio many times. Reggie Barlow left, and some of the assistants were leaving as well. Greg Williams was out. How soon before kickoff was that? Take me back. I forget.
It was like a week, honestly. Like right before the season was starting. I mean, he kind of told us that, you know, he was going to take some meetings and stuff, and he was honest up front with everything. And you know, we're very happy for him. We wanted him to. That's kind of what this point of the league is for, opportunities, and he's getting that opportunity. So we wanted him to, you know, kind of get out and make more money. But it was definitely a shock for everybody. But, you know, we pushed through. You know, Shannon Harris stepped up and rallied the team up. And, you know, without him, we would not be the team we are today because he took Barlow's spot and ran with it. And what he believed in, what Barlow believed in, he carried that on and carried that legacy. And he's become a great coach.
I think that's what I've turned, you know, for me, I got into the league originally. We were calling the games on the radio station. But what I like about it now so much as a viewer is – you guys are all scratching and clawing for another shot.
Yes.
Like, to me, there's a romanticism to that that is awesome. My pops came out to the game for the first time this weekend, and he's like, how many of these guys will be in the NFL? How many guys in the NFL right now are in the league? And I'm kind of giving him the numbers, and it's an uphill battle, obviously. Yeah, like, you've gotten a couple chances. There's receivers you threw to the last couple of years. Yep. They're on practice squads. But this is the best way. I mean, it's kind of the only way at this point. Can you speak to, for people that maybe don't follow it, like, what this league is in terms of a last opportunity?
Yeah, this league is, you know, a league of opportunity. Like I said, I mean, if I could write a book, my title would be Opportunity, because every time I get that chance to showcase myself, showcase my talents, I will do it. And, you know, it's not only for the players, but the coaches as well. And it's just for everybody. I mean, it creates job opportunities for us too, to kind of keep playing the sport we love, and then also to reach our goal. We're playing live games against top level talent in the spring. So guys that played in the NFL, that could be in the NFL, but the rosters are so slim that they, you know, drop down to the UFL. And I feel like, you know, this is just another chance for us to showcase that, hey, we can still play, that we can still, you know, do what we need to do to be at that top level, that top 1%. And that's our goal, is to showcase that and, you know, be the top in this league so we can, you know, be a part of the NFL.
Have you gotten feedback from folks at that NFL level saying, here's what we'd like to see from you in terms of milestones, growth, et cetera?
Yeah, I've talked to my agent and stuff, and, you know, what he's heard from other coaches and stuff, you know, kind of just throughout the, not only this year, but throughout the years, is that, hey, Jordan needs to work on this, this, and this. And I've been, you know, during the offseason and during the season, that's what I've been strongly focusing on, just to show that, hey, I can still play. I can still, you know, read defenses. I can, you still run. I can, you know, do it all. So the more I have to prove people wrong, the better. And I've always, you know, played well under pressure and always played well when I needed to.
Jordan Tamu this year, thrown, ran, caught a touchdown, coming off 240 through the air and a couple of touchdowns and a 33-30 win over Arlington this past weekend. So the playoffs are in the, you know, offing here. They're a couple weeks out. You guys still have the game coming up this weekend on the road. You have a 4 o'clock game against the Houston Roughnecks.
Yep.
And then you're playing one final game against the Battle Hawks here. You're going to end up playing there for the conference championship.
Yeah.
Which is just an unfortunate thing. Audi Field doesn't have the ability to allow you guys to play. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you guys have dealt with adversity all year long. I mean, what's your thought on that as the number one team in the league? If you beat them again,
right,
you'll have the tiebreaker and you're still going to be playing a conference title game in their building.
Yeah, I've expressed it like right after the game. You know, they asked that same question. It's just very, you know, difficult or, you know, kind of hard for us to kind of swallow that, you know, just not being able to play back in D.C., you know, because that fan is just adds another – it adds a 12th person on that field for us, for any team, honestly, even in St. Louis. So, I mean, their atmosphere is rowdy and they can get loud and it's just going to, you know, create chaos not only for us but, you know, for them as well. So, I kind of shared my emotions about it already, and I just think we just need to play in a neutral spot, maybe in Arlington, save a lot of money. But I don't know what they're thinking.
So what do you think about this? So essentially, to me, what it seems like is they know that if it's in D.C., which you guys have earned,
right,
there'd be 15,000 people. It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
If it's in St. Louis, there's going to be a ton of people.
Yeah.
It's going to look awesome on TV. There's going to be a great atmosphere. The neutral site games they've played in Texas have just not done as well, I don't think, with the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, maybe they have a real reason, but that would be, to me, that they want an awesome atmosphere there for
the
conference.
Yeah, they want to present the best product.
Well, these guys are getting screwed.
Yeah, it screws them over.
Because you're playing on the road at a team you're better than at that point.
And we're supposed to be the home team, so I don't know how they're going to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, just don't let St. Louis fans in. I think that'd be easy.
But I totally get that the league still is in the, they have to do some things that work for them, too.
Right.
Right, because there is this element of trying to grow the brand, grow the league.
Yeah,
I get that, but at the same time, you can't do the team wrong, which it feels like.
Which
they
seems
would
like be. They're doing that.
Yeah.
It seems like they can and are. Yeah, that's that would be tough to swallow. But I would. Do you guys think you can view that as that's another roadblock? That's another. Yeah, that's a chip on our shoulder. Like we're getting screwed here.
I mean, we had one word, you know, throughout this whole season is good. Something went wrong. Good. Our coaches leave. Good. And you know, just watching that video over and over, this is another obstacle. Good. No matter what's going to happen in front of us, I think we're going to overcome that obstacle. No matter how big, how small, I think our team already established that and identified who we are. Good. We're gonna play what's in front of us, and I think all of us are excited about it.
Yeah, I love that. That came out, the video of Coach in the locker room after.
Yeah.
And you could tell you guys do it, but it would be like, oh, we're down 7 points. Good. We turned the ball over. Good. It's just great.
Yeah.
That's
you're going to hear that again, by the way. It's coming up on our show.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I like it. All right, I want let's have a little fun here. So we've got some producers behind the scenes here, Darius and Ryan and Toby.
All right.
So what I want to do here is I want you to call the play in the huddle.
Okay.
I need you to give us the wordiest, longest, worst play to memorize in the world that you can. And then Ryan will go one by one, but they have to spit the play back out to you. You're like calling the play into his headset.
Yeah, I mean, all right, I can do a little something.
All right, so here, let's get in on that mic. All right, so you're giving the play to Ryan into his headset here.
Now, I was not prepared for this. Here we go. Let's go empty right, F across, 51, Y under, all go, alert, lady.
All right, boys, let's go. Let's get this thing going. 50 across?
No.
Why right?
Nope.
Was 50 across was not in
51
that play.
Was the F-51.
51 right? Was the protection, but 50 across was close.
I had it halfway through there if you guys gave me a chance.
Oh, where's the 50. Formation at? Where's the formation at? I need the formation.
Yeah, nobody knows where to line up, brother.
Yeah, brother. Come on.
Just someone get open downfield. I got you.
All right, Toby, you're
do
up.
That in the huddle. That works great.
Toby, it's your turn. All right. By the way, one of the coolest things, if you guys haven't watched the UFL, is you can actually hear every play get called.
Yeah.
The interaction between the coach and the quarterback often. All right, so Toby's your new QB here.
All right, you ready? Another play. Let's go pro right Zen. All right, pro right Zen. Philly 46, why climb?
Pro right Zen, Philly 46, right climb.
Why? But yeah, that's close.
Okay, that was better.
I'll take that. Toby, I'll take that.
Got a
I'll
shot. Take that. He's a... Who's ahead of who on the depth chart here? Toby or Ryan? I think Toby's
up. Toby's up.
Yeah, he's got him. All right, Darius. You're the last one. Now, he's a Madden guy. Darius runs a Madden league.
Yeah.
I think that could help him with memorization.
Or not.
I'm not. Or possibly not. Nobody knows.
You ready?
Let's go.
All right, let's go. Trips right. Zoe. Philly 71. Stick. Alert. All Gators.
Oh, boy. trips right. 7 right. Zoe. All Gators, go.
Yeah. Dude, that was half right.
There's some stuff, yeah. There's so many alligators for some reason.
Is the terminology in the UFL, do you guys, Like, are you your wristband or no?
No, we're just headset. Yeah.
Okay, so he's calling it like you are.
Yeah.
Right into you. You're spitting all that out in the huddle.
Yeah. All in the huddle. And then usually, you know, we have like our receivers, some of our receivers have that headset in their helmet as well. So they can just stay out there and hear the play call. And, you know,
oh, that's
play
cool,
fast.
Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Why not just go straight wristband where, like, I'm on the walkie talkie and I'm going 42. And then you can just look at 42 and call it.
We want to move fast. I mean, that's our game plan is the, you know, tempo, no huddle. Don't even give the defense time to set up or really identify, you know, what we're in. And, you know, that's our offense is just moving fast.
But wouldn't it be quicker to just say the number than all those words? Now, I mean, you right. have to yeah. say the words, but like,
but if everyone has a wristband, it's just 42, you go to 42.
Well, but I don't know. I mean, can everyone wear a wristband? Normally there's rules on who can wear it. I don't know.
I think everyone can, but I think, okay. you know, I think Kais is very superstitious about his plays being out and about like that. You know what I mean?
And this is your third year with him.
Yes.
So what's that system like? Describe kind of the offense and your relationship with Kais.
Yeah, I love Coach Kais. Me and him, you know, built a relationship over the years where if I see something out on the field and want to change it, I have the 100% a green light. And, you know, he won't argue with me. He just wants to like, hey, why did you do that? And I would tell him, he said, okay, that's all I need to know. So, you know, our offense is, you know, I love it. Every week we go into something different and we watch film and he's in there 24/7 just looking at the board. I mean, there's a whole board filled with, you know, plays and different things he wants to do. And he's just staring at that thing. And I come in there. I'm like, hey, what are you thinking, coach? And he's like, hey, Jordan, like, I'm thinking this, this, this. And the fact that, you know, his brain is just all over the place and that we're always on the same page. Whenever I know when he's about to call something and he doesn't finish it, I can finish it because that's how much of a connection we have. If he's thinking about something, hey, like, I'm thinking about this. I said, I like it. Let's do it. Or if I'm comfortable changing the play, he's like, hey, Jordan, like, what do you think about this? And I'm like, I like it. Or I'm like, hey, like, what if we ran this play? So our relationship is so super healthy with that. And I love the flexibility to be able to change that.
Who wins a race? 2025, 27-year-old Jordan Tamu, or 2019 at the Combine, Jordan Tamu in the 40? Who runs a better 40?
I was a little hurt 2019 running the Combine. Not a lot of people know that, but that would be a tough one. I'll say right now.
Right now?
Yeah. I feel a lot stronger.
Combine, do you have the time there?
4.77 was our combine. Yeah, I think you're faster than that.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. I was a little banged up during that, so I'm a lot faster.
Vertical same or worse?
Probably better.
Better now?
Yes. Didn't look like it, but it is.
I don't remember, you know, watching the play. If it was a pop pass or if it was a handoff, but you guys went with like the trick play double pass.
Right.
Backside, you caught the ball this week.
Yeah, it was a little toss up. I mean, in this league where you can, you know, so pass the ball forward.
Was that considered a double pass?
Yes.
So in the UFL, you can do two forward passes.
Yes, as long as it's behind the line.
Yep.
As long as it's
the pop pass instead of having to toss it backwards.
Yes.
And you guys pulled that off.
Yeah, we
I like that,
that
rule. I don't know if you think that would be good for the league. The other one I want is the 4th and 15 instead of an onside kick.
Yep.
Have you guys had any of those this year?
Yeah, not this year, but we had it last year.
I remember that.
Honestly, I mean, against Arlington, in Arlington again, another comeback that we had. And we, you know, we accomplished that 4th and 12 or 4th and 15, whatever it is, and came down and won the game. So I like that rule a lot. I like the double forward pass. It just, you know, it gets, you know, the offense coordinator kind of creative mindset and love the play we ran.
Why wouldn't that be better than an onside kick in the NFL?
The
UFL has that right.
Well, one you can get sometimes.
Yes.
And it's a football play. The other is this weird, you have to announce our intention to get something that's less than 5% of the time. Doesn't make sense to me anymore.
Anything else from the UFL? You spent so much time with different NFL teams that you think should be a part of the National Football League?
I like the extra points. The 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
I mean, just kind of creates
more scoring possibilities.
Yeah, a little more scoring possibilities, more actions, more trick plays you can see.
1 from the 2.
Yep.
2 from the 3.
2 from the 5.
Oh, 2 from the 5, 3 from the 10.
3 from the 10, yeah.
Yeah. And
like
no
that.
Extra points at all, no kicking.
No extra points. Just,
which is awesome.
Yeah. They can just kick field goals. No PATs.
I wouldn't be surprised to see that eventually, but I mean, the league is just so worried about getting rid of like a job, right? The kicking extra point, especially moving it back to the 33. It's actually now kind of interesting.
Yeah.
There's some missed extra points. I will say the kicking in the UFL is awesome. You guys have a great kicker.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Matt McCrane. He's awesome. Hasn't kicked the field goal in three games because our offense has been scoring, but he's a great guy.
You're probably not complaining about that, I guess, right?
Yeah, he's definitely not. But whenever we need him, he comes in clutch all the time. Matty Ice.
Jordan Ta'amu of the UFL leading DC Defenders. Their next home game is Friday night, a week from this Friday, so a couple of weeks out. They'll round out the regular season schedule, and then they're on to the conference championship game against the Battle Hawks. Congrats on a strong season, man. Finish up, stay healthy, and then go get them in the playoffs.
Yes, sir. That's the goal. Appreciate you, DC. Appreciate you guys for having me.
Audience loves that. It's exciting.
Audience is fired
audience
up.
Is into it.
By the way, you smell amazing. What's your cologne?
Thank you. Right now is the Dior.
Dior.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's downwind right here is good.
I say Dior like I know what that means.
You're like, yeah, Dior.
Yeah, Dior.
Right.
Sure. I've got that. I chose not to wear it today. But
we have to have a conversation about our DC handsome athlete rankings, too.
Oh,
now that he's sitting right here.
Really?
Good Lord.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amu. Making a play.
That's a handsome dude.
Very good.
Thank
Jordan,
you,
thank you, brother.
Thank you, guys.
And you go over to Nats Park and give him heck.
Yeah, I will.
He's going to be shouting play ball tonight.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I'll see you over there.